Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today we're continuing our study in the mysteries in the Gospel of John. Have you ever found yourself wishing for more lately, yearning for a way to find true fulfillment and joy in your day-to-day affairs? Well, today, Rabbi Schneider, he's here to present a profound truth about finding satisfaction. He'll be diving into Jesus' declaration that he is the bread of life. And he'll be showing us how to find true and lasting fulfillment in him. For resources related to this study, visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But right now, let's welcome Rabbi Schneider for today's message.
Bruchim habayim, blessings to you today in the name of the Lord. Last time we were together, I was in chapter 6, and I was talking about how Yeshua was saying to the religious leaders that he was the bread of life, that came down out of heaven, and that if anyone would partake of this heavenly bread, whom he was the embodiment of, he said that we would hunger and thirst no more. As he began to say this, he got a huge opposing reaction from the religious leaders of his day. Jesus responded and said, "I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So this spirit now is going to intensify, this spirit of Yeshua coming into the earth, God in the flesh, God in human form, speaking truth, claiming to be the bread of life that came down out of heaven, and the religious leaders are about to vomit. Forgive me for using such crude language, but they could not receive it. They could not handle it. They accused him of being a demon. They accused him of being crazy. They could not receive who Yeshua was. This is why in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, the scripture says that they despised him. They rejected him. They esteemed him not. They considered him smitten and stricken of God. This is the type of atmosphere that's going on here in John chapter 6. We're going to pick up now and make some new progress as we pick up today in verse number 41. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God abides forever. Hear the word of God, beloved ones. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, "I am the bread that has come down out of heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I came down out of heaven'?" So I want to focus on this word. They were grumbling among themselves. They were scoffing at him, disrespecting him. They're saying, "Jesus, he's saying he came down out of heaven. We know his dad. We know his mom and dad. He's the carpenter's son. Now he's telling us he came down out of heaven." How does Yeshua reply? Verse number 43, Yeshua answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves." In other words, they were looking down upon him. They were grumbling against him, putting themselves in a superior position upon Jesus. But Yeshua's response is, "Do not grumble among yourselves." He was putting them back into proper alignment, that they were not above him, they were below him. So Yeshua says, "Do not grumble among yourselves." Then he reveals a secret and a mystery, beloved. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father,' Yeshua said, 'comes to me.'" So let's take a step back and consider. Yeshua has come, God in the flesh, the Messiah of the world, the one that prophets had prophesied. He came unto his own, the Jewish people, but his own received him not. Not only did they not receive him, but they despised him. Yeshua's response to this was, listen, all that the Father gives me will come to me. You may as a whole, he was saying to the nation of Israel, reject me. But there are some within your midst who have heard and learned from the Father, and they will come to me. All the Father gives me, Yeshua said, will come to me. So Yeshua's mission was not failing. Just because the majority of Israel was not receiving him does not mean that God's plan had gone awry. So let's continue on. No one can come to me, in verse 44, Yeshua said, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one, he was speaking of himself, who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. So let me ask you a question today, dear beloved one. Have you truly, in your kishkas, we say, in your guts, have you truly come to the revelation that Yeshua is the bread of life that came down to earth from God out of heaven, that if we receive him, if we make him the goal and the quest of our life, if we hunger and thirst after him, and in so hungering and thirsting after him, we draw him into our soul, and in so doing, his words are fulfilled, that we'll come to a place that will become so full of him, so full of him through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that will fill us through our hunger and thirst, that we will, as Jesus said, come to a place where our deepest desires will be fulfilled and will hunger and thirst no more. You see, some of us today, we've tasted Jesus, but we're not hungering and thirsting for more. We're not questing after him. We haven't made him the mountain we're climbing in life. We haven't made him our everything. But I want you to hear me. Jesus spits the lukewarm out of his mouth. He will not accept a relationship in which someone wants to compartmentalize him, making him a part of their life, keeping him in some far corner somewhere where they go to church and they give X amount of their dollars and then they pretty much go out and live their lives, maybe abstaining from great moral sins, but are really truly not hungering for Jesus, not giving him the first part of their lives, the first part of their heart, the first part of their love, the first part of their affection, the first part of their talent, the first part of their financial resources. You see, Jesus will not allow himself to be your second, your third, your fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh best. And so Jesus said he spits the lukewarm out of his mouth. He is the bread of life that satisfies. So I want to ask you a question right now. Are you at a place in your life that when you wake up in the morning, your first thought is Jesus, Yeshua, drawing close to the Father through him? Is the first person that you talk to each day when you wake up in the morning him? Because where you begin, that's going to set the trajectory for the rest of the day. Do you love him enough? Are you hungry for him enough that you're spending time every day in his word or reading some type of Christian literature to feed your soul? Are you filtering everything in your life through your relationship with him? This is what Jesus is calling for, and this is the type of walk that will bring the fulfillment of his promise to fruition in our life where we're truly fulfilled and satisfied.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's seven annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To become a blessing in someone's life today, get in touch to partner partner with us. Our mission is to prepare the world for Jesus' return, and your financial gift is channeled directly toward this worthy cause. Take your first step today by calling 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Your contribution will equip others for Messiah's return. And now here is Rabbi Schneider with the rest of today's message.
Let's continue on. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." And again, Yeshua describes and defines eternal life in John 17, where he says, "This is eternal life, to know God and Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah whom he has sent." He says, your father's continuing on. He's speaking, of course, to his Jewish brothers here. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this, speaking of himself, is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." When you hear these words of Yeshua, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," these are deep words. These are not words that are easily received. That's why they couldn't receive them. You're going to see in a second, my beloved ones, that everybody left after he said this. They couldn't receive it. It grossed them out. It was too deep. They couldn't comprehend the meaning. Jesus spoke in such terms because he was saying, unless you take me into your life fully, completely, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Jesus was introduced to the world by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God, going back to Passover. The Israelites had to eat that entire Passover lamb 3,500 years ago. They couldn't leave any of it. And it's the same with Jesus. We have to eat all of them. And he said, "He that eats my flesh," if you truly make your life all about me, you will receive eternal life. It's like a well. You know, you're pumping, pumping, pumping. You're drawing up the water. By questing after Jesus, you draw the water into your life. But how does one come to a place where they have spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst so that they can eat his flesh and drink his blood? How can you, my beloved one, come to a place in your life where you're receiving him in fullness? You know what has to happen? We have to be convinced that there's a supernatural God that is present with us right now and that will respond to us. When you believe in the God of miracles, when you believe that the God that spoke to Abraham, the God that spoke to Isaac, the God that spoke to Jacob, the God that did miracles through Elijah and Elisha, the God that manifested himself to the apostles supernaturally, the God that rose from the dead, when you believe that he's still here in the spirit, on earth, doing miracles, communicating with his own intimately in spirit and in truth, bringing about supernatural results in your life and filling you, when you believe that he really will do what he said he would do, that he would bring you into true freedom, then you're going to quest after him because you're going to know that he is the one that will and can fulfill you and nothing else can. That's why he said to the Jewish people of his day, they ate the man in the wilderness, the earthly, and they died. But I've got something to give you. You'll never die, and it's going to fulfill you forever. Let's continue on. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food. Listen, to eat the true food We have to be walking a life of fasting. I'm not talking about just fasting from food. I'm talking about fasting from everything that feeds the flesh. In other words, if we want to receive the true food, if we want to draw Yeshua, the Spirit, into our soul in the deepest way, we have to lead a life of fasting. Jesus said, when the bridegroom leaves, speaking of himself, the ones that love him will fast. What does it mean to lead a fasted life? It means that when you're bored, instead of running to the world to try to fulfill yourself, instead fast from running to the world. Fast from watching unwholesome things on television. Fast from calling friends and getting into worthless conversations, because the Bible says in the abundance of words, there's sin. And just sit still before the Lord, even though it's hard. Just sit still before him. Allow him to expose your soul and talk to him. It takes spiritual discipline. But to receive Jesus, we have to fast from the things of the flesh. The Bible says all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, beloved one, that's not from the Father, that's from the world. So to receive the Lord, we have to fast from the things of the flesh so that our soul can look to him to receive fulfillment. Because if we keep on trying to satisfy our soul with the things of the world, we're not going to be hungry enough to receive Jesus for him. So Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Going back a verse, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who eats my flesh, who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. Get this, what happens next. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? He's speaking about the fact that he's going to rise from the dead. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Again, he's calling them back to enter into another realm. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who did not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, and I want you to get this, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. I want to encourage you right now, if you love Jesus, if you're clinging to him, if he's the quest of your life, I want to encourage you right now just to thank the Father. Because the reason that you've come to Yeshua, the reason that you are questing after him and love him, the reason that you're drawn to God's people, beloved, it's because of the Father. The Father drew you. The Father chose you. The Father loves you. Yeshua said once again, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. You've been blessed. You've been blessed by the Father. Just like Yeshua said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Finally, it all concludes. Verse 66, it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, saying, Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Have you come to the place in your life where you are absolutely convinced that Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus, is your only answer? He's not only the bread of life, He's your bread of life and my bread of life. And only in Him will we find what we're looking for. I want to ask you now, if you've not yet already, open your heart and receive Him today.
As you embrace Jesus as the true food and sustenance for your soul, the team here at Discovering the Jewish Jesus, we want to rejoice with you. And if you just prayed to accept Jesus into your heart and life, we'd like to come alongside you on this incredible journey of faith. You can connect with us today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And whether you have some questions, need some guidance, or you simply want to share your experience with someone, we want you to know that we're here for you. And when you reach out today, don't forget to ask about our Welcome to the Family of God gift. We've got a couple of free books that we'd like to send you that will help you build a strong foundation in your newfound faith. Here at the ministry, we're passionate about deepening our understanding of our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. And Rabbi's fervor for uniting the Old and New Testaments and his passion for expounding upon the Hebrew text, it's really what drives our mission and this program. So when you join with us, you're not just supporting a cause, you're helping us spread the life-transforming message of the gospel with those who need to hear it the most. Rabbi?
We're in a situation, those of us that are senior citizens or those of us that are above the age of 50, we were taught to honor the Lord with our finances. But America and many other nations in the world are not so Christian anymore. What that means is those of us that have learned how to tithe, those of us that have been instructed to honor the Lord with our finances, we need to be thinking about having an ability to continue to reach the younger generation, many of whom are not tithing. When you honor the Lord by sowing financially into Discovering the Jewish Jesus, you're giving us an opportunity to continue to reach the younger people even after you and I have passed on. Even if they might not give like we do, we're going to have enough that we have already to continue to reach them. I want to ask you to sow financially into this ministry so that we can reach, beloved, the next generation.
Your gifts really do make a difference, so please give today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com, or you can give a gift of any amount by calling 800-777-7835. And as we prepare our hearts for Passover next week, I wanted to take a few minutes to remind you that you too can celebrate this special season. Jesus, He shed His blood and became our Passover lamb on the cross. Because of His sacrifice, we can now experience freedom from sin. This is just one example of how Jesus fulfills Israel's history in a greater way, and it gives our faith even deeper meaning. And to learn more about God's appointed days and the Jewish roots of our faith, let me encourage you to visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now let's welcome Rabbi Schneider back to speak God's sacred blessing over us.
The Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, is not a blessing that comes from an impersonal being out there somewhere in the heavens. This special blessing comes from a person, Yahweh, God Almighty, our Creator and Maker. So receive God's blessing into your life right now.
Yavarechech Yahweh, vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh p'nav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Yahweh p'nav elecha ve'asem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when Rabbi Schneider explains the incredible mystery of being personally chosen by God. That's coming up Tuesday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.